email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
This morning, RTE announced their search to find Ireland's representative for next year's Eurovision Song Contest. It comes hot on the heels of a good year for the country in 2024 with Bambi Thug coming sixth place in the final, our best result since the year 2000. Ireland's head of delegation, Michael Keeley, joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Michael. Good to see you.
Good afternoon, Ray. Good to see you too.
You're a different man than previous years. The weight of failure has been lifted from your shoulders.
I look more vibrant, more energetic, less downcast. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying so.
And here, look, Lawrence has been on from Dublin. So proud of Bambi, Michael and co. We did absolutely amazing. The atmosphere when we qualified, honestly, was incredible. Was in the arena and was my favourite Eurovision moment ever. Is the selection process for 2025 going to be Eurosong on the Late Late or will it be a separate live show? We'll get to that, but that's Lawrence. So compliments there. We're on the crest of a wave, if you like.
Well, it's one wave. Let's just say, I mean, I don't know if it's a whole series of waves coming. I hope it is. I hope it is the start of something new, a bit of a revival, a renaissance in our Eurovision fortunes. But I mean, definitely this year. I mean, like, it was nice of your Lawrence. Listener to give me credit, but really, it's Bambi that is responsible and was responsible for the extraordinary result we got this year.
Okay, can I ask you a question? You would have had a debriefing. Do you have a debriefing? Yeah, and you can't share everything that was discussed at that. But in that debriefing, after our success this year, what was discussed, and was there any sort of system of going, it worked because, and this, we were successful because, and maybe we can do this and try and replicate that in the future?
Yeah, well, no, because
no, right.
Because Bambi came through a system that we used last year and the year before,
right.
So, I mean, it's very much down to the individual artists that we get through the
system.
Are
you going to answer Bambi Thug to all of my questions today?
Well, it depends. Well, if the answer is Bambi, then I will endeavour not to, Ray. But okay. I have to give Bambi the credit, and I have to give Bambi their due, because they were, an extraordinary artist to work with. Great result, as we all saw. Yeah. I think they gave the country a lift at a good time of the year as well.
Was your approach to Bambi different than to acts in previous years?
Not really, because what happens is when we get an act qualifying through the Eurosong or to whatever way we do it, I normally sit down with them and I say, listen, here's a blank sheet. It's up to you. I never say, I've got a great idea. You have to do this, that, or the other, or whatever, or, I never am prescriptive about it. So this year I just said to Bambi, just sat down with them and I said, look, here's what's going to happen, because you have to kind of talk them through the process, because nobody really understands what happens until you're actually in the middle of it, and no matter how you...
The eye of the storm.
Yeah, no matter how you prepare or try and prepare somebody for the experience that they're going to go through, it's always much more than they ever expect, So I sat down with Bambi and went through everything and I said, listen, it's a blank page. Okay. I said, here's the things we need to do. We need a video. We need this. We need that. So then they literally took the ball and they ran off with it,
Every time it became a running gag that every time we had Bambi on, I said to them, maintain control.
Yeah,
maintain control.
That, yeah.
It was like a bit of one of their songs, really. Maintain control. So did Bambi, I suppose that begs the question, did Bambi have more control over the look and the act and the visuals than other people had?
Only insofar as I thought that they had a very, very clear vision of what they wanted to do, right? So there was no point, no point me sticking my oar in.
Okay.
And because they knew exactly down to the last camera frame nearly what they wanted to do on stage. So my best thing I could do was just get out of the way as far as possible and just make sure that the process of interacting with the Eurovision people was as smooth as possible. The process of interacting with RTE is as smooth as possible, because sometimes that's where a lot of people think there might be tension between, us RTE producers who think, we know so much better than the artists. Well, we don't, we don't.
Okay.
So.
Now, it's been obvious to people who've been following it over the last few years that about 4 or 5 years ago, the Eurovision changed in that it became a real shop window for the music industry. And acts that didn't even win went on to international success.
Yeah.
Now Ireland knows, because Bambi Thug, 25 million streams on Spotify,
sold out tour around Europe.
Electric Picnic, that's never happened for a Eurovision act before. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, but you can correct me if I am.
I have to come back to you on that one. Yeah. I can't swear to it.
So what I'm saying to you is maybe this was discussed in your meeting, that representing Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest has become, because of Bambi Thug, a more attractive prospect for acts.
Well, I think, like, I've been banging this drum for a long time with acts, you know, up and down this country. And I think Bambi Thug is now an example of how well you can do as a result of Eurovision exposure and doing well in Eurovision, you know. Bambi came sixth, as you said, 25 million Spotify streams, 10 million YouTube views, like, you know, all the statistics are there. And you're right, the Eurovision has changed in the last 5 or 6 years, and it has become, like, I was at a meeting recently, and one of the things they said that 10 years ago, you know, when social media was kind of starting taking off around this whole contest, was that they used to measure the interactions in the millions, and now they measure the interactions in the billions every year. So it's like over 160 million viewers that watch the linear television, hundreds of millions of more watch various clips of it online, billions more interact with it on social media, whatever, like, you know. So it is, like, by far the biggest music event in the world. And if you do well in it, you know, as I said, you don't even have to, you don't even have to win, you know.
I suppose Bambi was packaged already. They had gone through a process through social media. They had a core group of fans, and they sort of fine-tuned their act.
Yeah.
So now, we still need a packaged act.
I think what you need is somebody who is not necessarily at the start of their career, not somebody who's no experience of performing, no experience of, you know, standing up in front of people and singing a song. Bambi had that experience, you know. I mean, they weren't starting out. They had a fan base. Mm. Their fan base went from like 20,000 to, you know,
millions,
you know. So yes, I think the competition is more suited to somebody who has a certain amount of experience, but not only that, but who really, really wants it. And Bambi really, really wanted to get on that stage and to perform and to do her their thing in front of all of those people.
So the process now, remind us of the process. So you launched the search today. What do people do if they're sitting at home on a brilliant song?
Well, what they can do is they can go to rte.ie/Eurovision and they can upload their song there. They've got till the 18th of November to do that. And we normally get between 300 and 400 songs every year.
You listen to them all?
I listen to them all. One of your colleagues has volunteered to listen to them now as well. So I try and rope in one or two people. Yeah. God love Niamh. She has no idea what she's in for. But I try and get one or two other people to listen to it because it's quite a task. You know, to sit down and listen to 400 songs takes quite a long time.
So one of the stipulations is that they have to be 3 minutes long.
Yeah,
so
not everybody adheres to that.
Yeah, and that's 1,200 minutes. Do the maths on that. 1,200 minutes. What's that in hours? Niamh's going to calculate how much time she has to spend.
But it's, you can't listen to them all in a row. Do you know what I mean? You can only listen to a few of them and then walk away and do something else and come back to them. Because after about, listen to about 10 in a row or 15 in a row, it's hard to judge. Do you know what I mean? So like the fear
you need
is,
to cleanse your palate.
Exactly. So the fear is then that you might miss a good one. Do you know what I mean? Just because you're jaded, listen to them all, you might miss a good one. So I tend not to listen to them all in a row. So I spread it out over a week or two. So anyway, so we shortened that down to maybe 50 or 60. And then I will send that out to journalists, radio people, television people, entertainment people, some fans as well. I try to get at least 40 of those together.
And what do they do then?
And then they will listen to the shortlist and then they will send me their top 10. They'll rank it like Eurovision. Okay. You know, they'll give 12 points to this, 10 points to that, whatever. And then we add up all the scores and then we get our top 6 or 10. And then I will, normally we take the first, you know, 4 or 6, whatever, off the top. Sometimes if, like, we will listen to the top 10 because we don't necessarily want 6 ballads. Do you know what I mean? So it's a competition in the end. So we want a good mix of songs for the
TV
show.
And what happened to Wild Youth? 'Cause they
well, sometimes then occasionally we would invite artists then to right. compete as well. So Wild Youth,
is
Public
that fair?
Image.
Is that limited. Fair on the
well, it is because, I mean, like at the end of the day, it's a professional competition. Yes. So we're
and you're in charge.
And
anyway.
We're in charge. Yeah. We can make up the rules. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But you can. And you do. You but, change them regularly,
yeah,
don't you?
But, yeah. but we change them only to try and
yes,
get
course,
a good result.
Course,
you know,
yes,
so
yeah.
so we do whatever we think will get us the best results.
Okay.
You know, it's not as if we're trying to penalise people or whatever. Like, no, it's the whole thing is just to try and get a really good result.
Would it be a good idea to ask people to send in a video?
Well, I asked them in the form, right, that when they enter, upload their song, there is an opportunity then to put in a YouTube clip if they or a YouTube link or whatever,
yes.
if they have our social media links, whatever, and I'll look at those too.
Yeah. Because I was thinking in the world we live in, and the performance is so important and the visuals are so important, that if you can't deliver on that end, it doesn't matter how good your song is.
Yeah, that's true. It is a combination of, like, a great vocal, a great song, and a really great staging.
Yeah, which Bambi Thug had.
Yeah. Thanks to a great team, actually, yeah.
How many years have you been doing it?
This is my, I think this one was my, Dustin the Turkey was my first one, but then, then that was 2008.
Right.
But then I didn't do it for about 5 years after that.
Oh, did you not?
So I've been doing it since.
Poor thing.
I know. I've been doing it. Wonder why they didn't let me do it after that for a few years.
Well, didn't vote for him. You weren't allowed. It was the public who voted for him.
It was the public who voted for him. Yeah, so we changed that system. So I've done it consecutively or continuously since 2013. So there was a pandemic in the middle that we didn't do. So it's whatever.
So you've
that
done
is.
10 years. And
I've done about 12 of them. I think this going into my 13th, I think, in 2025.
And big news, you're handing on the Eurovision baton.
The last couple of years, I thought, you know what? I think somebody else needs to see how this thing works. I can't be the only one in RTE that knows how the Eurovision actually works, you know, on a yearly basis. So I just said it just as a matter of kind of, you know, if I happen to, you know, unfortunately get hit by a 46A out here, hopefully not, but just somebody else needs to see this thing and somebody else needs to be able to step
in
and do it. So, and other countries have joint heads of delegation. They would have two or three, you know, I came back from a meeting there recently and Claire, my colleague who's joining me, said all the other delegations have two or three people. I said, I used to come to these meetings on my own. I said, yeah, that's what I know. That's what I used to do.
So you're doing a handover.
Yeah. So I think I'll be involved next year, 2026, possibly not. We'll wait and see.
Well, I think that's you won't be. So there's a handover over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it will be a joint thing, you know. I mean, like I've done it a lot. So, you know, it's probably only fair that somebody else got to go.
Right. And it is going to be the Late Late Show again.
In February, we're going to do a Eurosong special on the Late Late Show again. Yeah.
In previous years, it was a jury, an Irish jury, an international jury and a public vote.
Yeah.
And will that be the same?
Well, it's still to be worked out. I mean, one of the things that I thought was that we might add in a fan jury as well, seeing as how the fans are a very important part of the competition these days. So... And also,
what's the difference between a fan vote and a viewer's vote?
Well, I suppose the public would be, you know, the fans are, I suppose, pay much more attention to the competition.
I know, but how do you know that somebody who's voting is a fan as opposed
to a
member
of
the
you would have a panel, you know, in the same way that we have an international panel.
Oh, I see.
We
I
would
see,
have a
yes,
national
yes,
panel,
yes. Uh-huh.
We would have a fan panel,
right.
And then we'd have the public vote,
right.
You know.
Okay. Yeah, and then
it's only
in 10 years'
idea.
Time there's going to be 15 panels.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I think the more... You know, in a way, I always thought that, you know, a national jury is only four people, an international jury is only four people, and then you had the public. So it's not a lot. So eight people control 2/3 of the vote. So I think maybe the more people you introduce in the process,
the better. There is that conundrum that we are voting for something that we like, and yet the people who will decide where they come in the Eurovision are not us.
Yeah, that's why I have the international jury.
Yes.
So, and that was one that came in.
But they're cancelled out by the home jury and the public.
But I think we also need to give our own people a say in what we do as well, you know. So, I mean, you know, I mean, if we were going to take that view, we would just have an international jury, you know.
Can someone submit a song without having an artist attached?
Yes, you can. But preferably if you have an artist, that would be better. But no, send us a song if you have it. Yeah.
Maybe we need to just take a break from Eurovision, as it costs us a fortune to participate, or look for a professional songwriter to guide us on how to write something that could be a winner, nothing too cracked or off the wall, says Roz. How much does it cost us?
It costs us around about 350,000 every year. Now, bearing in mind, right, that, you know, there's a licence fee that we paid the EBU to take part. So that's over 100,000 off the top of that straight away. So it's about 250,000.
And what do RT, they get what?
We get about 7 hours of primetime television.
So is that good value?
Yeah, very good value, yeah. Yeah. Right. Compared to a normal hour of television would be very good value, yeah.
And I know it's going to be in Switzerland this year, a very expensive country. So that, will that push up the price?
I suspect it probably will. Yeah, I don't know now what the details are. But I mean, there is, like, Sweden was expensive, you know, this year as well. And there is a kind of a Eurovision economy now that has kind of sprung up, right? So what happens is when you go to somewhere like Portugal, where ordinarily you think hotels would be a little bit cheaper, they kind of know what you paid in Sweden last year.
Dynamic pricing.
Yeah, so it's a bit like that. Yeah, so it's not cheaper going.
Michael says we don't need to be in the Eurovision. A waste of time. 3 exclamation marks. Oh, it's a bit of diversion, isn't it?
I disagree. I think, like, for those few hours in May, I think it really gives...
yeah, but so much disappointment, Michael, over the years.
Do you follow the soccer, Ray?
Yeah, well, I don't, for that exact reason. I've seen mates of mine, the whole weekend is destroyed because their team loses.
I know,
why would you do that?
Yet they still watch.
Yeah, why would you sign up for that sort of thing?
Yeah, they want to be involved. Because we want to be involved, because there is a chance that we will win one of these years.
Yeah, well, sixth last year. So this could be the last time I'd be... asking you questions about the Eurovision.
It could be, but I mean, like, that could be any year. It could be the last time. Who knows?
No, but like, there's what do they call it? There's plans for succession in place.
But I don't want to say definitely, just in case I'm sitting here in 2 years' time and you said, you told me you were leaving 2 years ago. So I won't say that definitively, but...
I tell you what, the planning did take me somewhat by surprise.
Did you?
That something was been planned that far in advance.
The foresight.
Right, Michael Keeley, head of Eurovision delegation for RTE. Thanks very much. And RTE.ie if you want to enter this year. Thanks, Michael. Thanks very much.
Ray.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.